And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show. We've been having some technical difficulties, so I've just kind of been sitting in here in the background with my mic muted, doing the Bernard Herrmann twisted nerve whistle. You know what I'm talking about? Like from Kill Bill. That kind of thing. It's been awesome. I've been really enjoying it. And my very special guest, a fellow American Freedom Radio Show host, Alex Ansari from Outside the Box. And I was having a little bit of difficulty trying to find my guests for the day. So I was like just calling them up on Skype one by one. And when I called Alex, I was like thinking to my head, answer me, Ansari! And he did. It was fantastic. Alex, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Vinny.
I know. And I wanted to talk about what we've been doing. Like, I don't know, I felt this sort of urge come over me to talk to some other AFR show hosts that have only just returned to the network. I mean, we've got to get all the things knocked down. It's sort of like going camping, how everybody has to kind of pitch in order to pitch the tent.
Absolutely. Yeah, we definitely may have a few technical difficulties, but it's also really exciting and, you know, community-oriented, seeing it rebuild. And, you know, I'm really excited to see what kind of guests are going to join the lineup in the coming weeks as well.
Yeah. Well, I just had a confirmation from Kevin Annett, who'll be joining me on Monday, and also just got an email from John Perkins' secretary as well, who's just agreed to be in my documentary. So I'm just hitting the ground running, man.
Yeah, there's a number of people I've never interviewed, and I'm going to try to, you know, bring some interesting people to AFR myself. For the first time, I'm talking with Thomas Sheridan tomorrow, when we talk about sociopaths and mainstream society and what's happening within society today. It's definitely no shortage. There's no shortage of people out there with information to share. It's just a matter of having the podium and the platform to do it. So that's why it's really amazing that AFR is back, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are happy.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, you ever had somebody give you a bag of chips and then you wound up sharing some of those chips with other people because it's too much for yourself? That's kind of what happens when AFR gives you a radio platform, eh?
Yeah, that's definitely one way to put it.
Because I like the whole idea of giving people the chance to spread their messages, because I don't know about you, bro, but I've been sitting back watching the alternative media this last year, 18 months or something, and I've seen so many collapses, fights, people rising and falling. It's like a never-ending shifting landscape on the coastline of a small island nation being washed away by radioactive ocean.
Yeah, it's actually something I've given a lot of thought to. In fact, several books could be written about the amount of infighting, psychosis that people undergo when they're not, one could, you know, see it as whether or not they're not spiritually grounded. One could get really caught up in the negativity and start seeing enemies everywhere. So we live in a culture now where one can look at YouTube and see conspiracies within conspiracies. It has provided like an alternative media entertainment world, if you will. So there may be people that, you know, have woken up to the fact that the soap operas and the television shows are, you know, absolutely toxic, and they've traded it in for this conspiracy drama soap opera, which is very much out there on the web today. It's good that people stay out of it, because we're really seeing a lot of people get sucked into it, and people forget that we are in this together. And when people are feeling constantly bombarded with threat after threat, a lot of people see nothing but enemies everywhere. And that's the dark side. You know, I think that we here at AFR, we want to prevent people from going to the dark side. Remember that there are people out there that care. There are people out there that are genuine. Sometimes we have to go through the trial and error and find out who those individuals are for ourselves.
And I think the whole element of guilt by association is a big one as well, because it seems as if we've mirror imaged what our lives used to be in sort of a distorted way, kind of like we've walked into this funhouse after leaving the carnival with all these distractions and jugglers and freaks on the television, and we're walking in here, and now we don't even recognize our own reflection because it's all distorted. And we think that because we're, you know, part of the quote-unquote truth movement and opposing the ubiquitous they, that all of these bad habits that we learned at the carnival of life, eating too much cotton candy, not being able to shoot the target ducks properly in the shooting range, all these bad habits seem to have merely transmuted, transformed, and been carried with us into this movement. And these are the whole things that you experience in the workforce. You know, funnily enough, jealousy, people stealing ideas, and gossiping behind people's backs. I found the gossiping element of the truth movement infection is quite the... I wouldn't say it's detrimental. I mean, because we gossip all the time, Alex, don't we? Always talking behind each other's backs about different things, this, that, or the other. There's nothing inherently bad about it. But when that becomes the only thing that you're in it for, and when rumors don't get proven, you don't abandon them. That's what people have been doing, I think. They just believe things because somebody that they think is trustworthy said it, and that's the end of the story. There's no more further investigation.
Yeah, and oftentimes we see people succumbing to this obsession with hierarchy, who's on top, who's on the bottom. And that's exactly the paradigm that we're trying to get out of. So even though it may be important to reach people, you know, how much does it really matter how many numbers or how many views someone has? You know, and it may be important maybe for some people that want to monetize their work, but it's also interesting to see all this YouTube AdSense on these videos promoting complete disinformation, infighting, how it's like an underground sub-industry now. You know, as long as people can get the view counts and get people's attention. The other thing I've seen in the alternative media in the last couple of years, I'd also say 18 months to 2 years, is waves of disinformation conspiracy sites that have been launched. And all these articles that are sending people on Facebook in all these different directions, leading some people sometimes to a sense of powerlessness, which can certainly be detrimental. You know, if someone's assuming, well, if I go off the grid, the federal government's going to drone me, you know, because, you know, there was an article posted on the freethoughtproject.com, you know, that can distort reality. So people got to guard against that.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of information out there, and it comes back to that old saying, how do you eat a sandwich that's the size of a man? The answer is one bite at a time.
That's good advice.
I mean, you know, chuck out pickles and stuff like that if you don't like that stuff, bro. But I was just also concerned about the emotional abuse element. I mean, let's say, hypothetically, there's a person whose moral... sound character, and they never screwed over anybody. They've built a reputation around the things that they're doing, and they don't talk about the things that they're doing. They just do it. You can think that that person would be unassailable in terms of character assassination, because the only thing that could really dethrone somebody like that would be vicious lies, right? What's problematic about that is vicious lies can be made up instantly, whereas a reputation takes a lifetime to build. And who was it that was telling me this? I think it might have been Suzanne Posel from Hardline, talking about 30% of people will believe everything they hear without checking it up. About 30% of people will kind of be a little bit skeptical or whatever, and maybe ask to see some evidence. And the rest of the people will have to have enormous quantities of evidence in order to convince them otherwise. So that means about 50% of people will be likely to believe a lie that told about somebody. And I see this happening all over the place with men and women who have dedicated their lives and sacrificed much in order to help as many people as they can, in whatever capacity it is that they're working in. And then all of a sudden, the wrong person gets upset with them for no good reason, and that person makes it their life's work to destroy this person. And very few people come to their aid. And what this reminds me of is, ironically, a video that I saw on Facebook yesterday, Alex, of a cop slapping around this guy for no reason. And a dude just sitting there filming it, really, really close. Like, cop's not even paying attention to him. Just thinking, what is it about us now, just as a species, that we sit back and watch people having things taken from them, whether it be their liberty, their reputation, etc. And we only watch and comment about it afterwards, rather than standing up and showing some bravery when it matters most, and standing in between the abusers and the abused.
Yeah, you're talking about the bystander effect, and the only way that we can evolve beyond living voluntarily within a police state is for people to not be a part of that bystander effect and to actually do something when someone's being harmed. And I mean that in a literal sense. So people get used to watching, and they're used to watching all this violence and traumatizing things, violent things. We're definitely seeing its impact on society today. You talk about people believing mostly what they hear. You know, a great example of that, people can just look at the news feed, Reuters, AP, some of the other alternative media websites. Take a look at how people are believing what is being told at face value about ISIS. And it's a little frightening because of the implications, you know, the racial profile and other things that are already happening. Already a few people have been killed, you know, but what about when they say that ISIS is committing acts of terror in the United States, whoever is behind it? So it's definitely a time where I wish people that should know better looked a little closer at these, you know, ISIS stories without getting so caught up in the, you know, hysteria about this so-called Islamic invasion. You know, there's a lot of logic that is just really wacky right now in regards to this whole Islam thing. Yeah, we got our work cut out for us.
I saw a video today of, like, alleged, you know, ISIS insurgents destroying Muslim and Middle Eastern relics and things of this nature. And I was like, bro, if these guys were actually Muslims, first of all, they'd respect their own culture and heritage and not just destroy it for all the Western media to see. And actually send the Western media the video and then have the Western media replay it for hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, worldwide right. to see. You know, that first thing right there doesn't make any sense to me. And then second of all, no freaking terrorist organization that I've ever heard of actually exists without being well-funded. And usually well-funded by the exact intelligence agencies that that particular terrorist organization purports to be against. A lot of the time.
Exactly.
So
yeah, I wonder what's really going on with this museum. I see the story right now in The Guardian. It reminds me of 2003 when they first invaded Iraq and all these very important artifacts went missing from the Museum of Iraq.
Yeah, and that was the U.S. troops being sent in there to confiscate these things and what have you. So it just seems to me like basically, all right, dig this. CIA is financing a terrorist organization to do really stupid stuff that both Muslims and the Western world hate in order to get everybody to hate Muslims. All right? They get everybody who's not a Muslim to hate a Muslim, and they get every Muslim to hate themselves. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just an oversimplification of the equation.
Yeah, just a few months ago, it was a whole different scenario. The main focus was on Ferguson and these protests all over the United States, and people run around with, don't shoot. And, you know, that was also another strange moment, you know, to see people that are in this mob mentality of, you know, supposedly doing something for society and bringing light to an issue. But I don't see people raising arms about all these other people in other countries that have been killed or other acts of police brutality, say, against women. You know, there was just a couple of these cases in the mainstream media played a huge role.
Well, we're coming back to break in just a moment here, ladies and gentlemen. back in just a second at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Just a dream. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, the lighter side of genocide, because if you can't make jokes about being enslaved or exterminated, what else is there to laugh about? My very special guest is Alex Ansari from Outside the Box. Welcome back, bro.
All right. Hey, Vinnie.
Now, we're a bit stretched for topics here. Now, you know what occurs to me, man? Two things. Anger and sleep deprivation. Not the best things that are intellectual tools in my experience. And I've been getting a lot of them lately. Doing a lot of work and getting really angry because a lot of people hate me for the work that I do. I just put up a Facebook status today, bro. Isn't it ironic? And does anybody else appreciate this irony? That people hate truthers more than they hate liars?
So that's what these people are doing on YouTube. They're full-time making videos about other people, and they have no other content exposing anything. And as for these folks that are constantly saying, oh, you don't talk enough about the Jews or Israel, look, there's downloadable programs like Final Cut Pro and Adobe Premiere. You can also get iMovie on a damn MacBook Pro. Okay, come on. No one's stopping anyone from making a good film about that topic. And there are important things to talk about, you know, explain to people what Zionism is, but do it with quality production and reach the world. The other thing is there's a massive amount of misspellings in some of these videos. I don't know what that's about. You know, it's almost as if people are also trying to discredit themselves or something by making really weak arguments. But Facebook and YouTube, yeah, a lot of people have been talking about this in recent years. People act different when they don't actually have to see your face. For me, it's a little different because I've been doing cable access in Portland. So people look at me and stare at me when I'm at the supermarket. So it's a little different than just being on YouTube. It's not like, hey, I'm Alex Ansari, the celebrity. It's like, that's that guy I saw on that cable channel with all that weird stuff. That is really overwhelming. So, you know, one of the things that I've been doing with my own personal life is, you know, trying to come to peace with that. You know, I made the decision to go out and put my face out there, as do others. There's certain things that are going to come with that. And so, you know, it takes discipline, but it's easy to just respond back to an attack. Mm-hmm. You know, it really feels powerful, though, when you're actually able to just ignore somebody or block somebody or not even participate in the attack, because a lot of these people seem obsessed for whatever reason, and we could speculate on that. Where is this coming from? To hurt other people, to affect them in such a way to where they stop sharing information, to where they stop doing shows. I mean, that's like a very special type of mental illness that's never actually been properly diagnosed.
Well, it's actually not a mental illness. In fact, it's a tactic. Recently in New Zealand, one of our award-winning journalists, Nikki Hager, wrote a book called Dirty Politics. In this book, he chronicles and categorizes the kind of election campaigning methodologies of our current ruling government, the National Party, under former Federal Reserve banker and derivatives trader John Key. So you can tell right away that it's not going to be good. But dig this. If you abuse people, like your opposition, etc., and attack them and act really vicious and really nasty, it puts everybody off voting. But they keep doing it anyway because they also found out not only does it put everybody off voting, it puts the opposition that you've got off of voting before your supporters. So it's only it's kind of like that scene from Steven Seagal on Deadly Ground. If you're getting fined $10,000 a day maximum for dumping toxic waste when you continue to make $1 million a day, it's only good business to continue doing so. And that's the exact same tactic I see being replicated here in Facebook threads, YouTube, and so on and so forth. I'm not 100% sure how much of it is genuine lack of interpersonal skills and lack of empathy, and how much of it is paid trolling or straight up psychopathy. Now,
I think there's a certain amount that can just become trolls. though, almost as if a spirit gets into them, or their mentality changes to where they're willing to do it for free, and they become that personality, and they give it everything they've got. You know, and certain people, I'll use one person example, this anonymous person, you know, commenting here and there for a few years. And some people kind of have an obsessive nature, even when they're saying favorable things. But once something happens that they don't like, that person that formerly was very supportive will turn 180. And then all of a sudden, you know, you wake up the next day and there's 20 messages on 20 YouTube videos. Copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste. Like, you know, they went into a robot mode where something touched them in such a way to where they went, okay, I'm going to just hit all the forms, everything that I can. So he has to block me from Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. I'm lucky that I haven't had the same issues that other people have had. But when it comes, it's noticeable. And that's what I've noticed the last few years, people sharing their stories with some of these individuals. And I really don't think it's government. I think these are genuine, like, whether it be personality disorders or there's a lot of people that have been traumatized.
Well, can I add something in here? When you become a truther, you often lose your current circle of friends and your family shun you. And that isolation does drive many of us crazy because you don't have any of that supportive kind of social fabric that used to hold your brain together. Go ahead.
Yeah, you did an episode called Counseling for Truthers. So I guess it's kind of a follow-up to that. You know, when we become aware of certain things, you know, there's a lot of trauma there, pain, sense of rejection, anger, and being hurt. And so when they see people in the alternative media, there's lots of different reasons why they turn on them, when in fact we should be on the same side. Sometimes it's jealousy, a sense of inferiority.
Well, think about this whole aspect of family, right? What if the let's say I say a million things and somebody agrees with 999,999 of them, but then I say one thing that they really don't like and then they decide to flip what they agree with me on completely and then say that I'm a complete shill and a complete utter douchebag and what have you. Now, I admit that I'm a complete douchebag, but I'm not a shill, you know. Shills get paid lots of money to toe the establishment line. I don't fit into either of those two categories, right? Now, when your family betrays you, you can understand that kind of reaction because it cuts deep with people. If you've got somebody up on a pedestal who you really, really respect and you've been nodding along this whole time, suddenly this person isn't who you thought they were. And that wasn't because they changed. It was because you didn't actually know this person at all. You filled in the blanks. You heard them say a few things that you agreed with, and then you assumed, based upon that that point there, that they must agree with you on pretty much everything. Now, I've said for a long time, if you find somebody who actually agrees with you on absolutely everything, you should probably kill them because they're going to take over your identity or something, bro. You know, that's dangerous stuff.
You know, and on the topic of that, some people spend all their time hating one particular person who is definitely not without its faults, who's a megalomaniac in his own way, a control freak. In essence, he's become what he proposes to hate. So this particular individual that has so much attention, even for those that are waking up to the fact that, no, he's not really what he says he is. Without even getting into a conspiracy, but getting more on the personality thing, the power tripping, the wanting to control the alternative media market. So instead of just obsessing on that, how about covering those topics that person feels aren't being addressed? That's a solution if they want to go that route. But to me, it's completely draining to spend one's whole life, being critical of someone that was formerly their hero. But for a lot of people, it is a part of the growth for them to find their own, I guess, vision or sight to see things as they are for themselves. So someone may go through a process of anger going, I can't believe that person megaphoned his own supporters. That seems completely sociopathic. Well, let's take a closer look at the human condition. None of us are perfect. And what is it in us that wants to have that perfect role model? Does that come from our childhood? Does that come from an anger at the media for not giving us a good role model? You know, there are real reasons why people show a lot of anger when they realize someone's not perfect or not godlike. And that might be more reflective of what's going on within consciousness.
Mm. Well, I think that's the whole element of, number one, you've got to be able to admit your faults, you know, blatantly, if necessary. And two, you've got to learn to apologize and forgive. Now, if somebody, if you've witnessed somebody admit fault, apologize, and forgive, compare that to somebody who's never apologized, never admitted their faults, and never forgiven anybody. Do you understand the kind of difference you're dealing with here? how one person might not actually be worth looking up to because they're putting themselves up on a pedestal, and you're merely sitting there propping up one of the legs. Aren't you?
Right.
And guess who's going to get crushed when they fall off that pedestal? Genius? You, the dumb idiot who put them up there. You know, we're not gods. We're not you know, the be all and end all. I mean, if you want that kind of thing, try not participating in reality. Try to participate only in the spiritual or fantasy realms. You know, I'm not saying that spirituality is all pure fantasy. Far from it. But there's a 3D reality, and there are other, you know, versions of it as well. And they don't just cancel each other out. There's real stuff going on in all sorts of sectors. And to act like you know it all, or like you're perfect in some way, it's kind of a bit hubris, bro. Now, what has humanity gotten itself into when it comes to hubris? And in most cases, it winds up getting exterminated or toppled or whatever. Dictators and tyrants and so on and so forth throughout history, once they get that level of hubris, days are numbered. Now, maybe that's what's happening to us as a movement. We're coming out of our perfect little caterpillar slimy sack, and we're starting to turn into butterflies. But the problem is, when you're trying to turn into a butterfly, you better hope that nobody just accidentally snaps off that branch that you're hanging on.
Right. And we better watch out for the electric fence. Right. We can fly high, but we can also get zapped.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the other thing that's always got me is, you know, whether we use the term truthers, freedom movement, there's the Free Your Mind Conference and a few things like that and other events that have been scattered around. But we lack the real gatherings that we need. And I know it's you know, you don't have to think about it too long to understand why we're very independent in nature. And that's good. You know, we don't want to be in the same page, you know, or necessarily in the same room. But sometimes it would be nice. It's a really unique life that we've picked for those of us that are trying to share the truth, because it seems like we're up against the world, even though we're joined by others that are on a very similar mission. So there's definitely nothing abnormal about the life paths that I think that we're on. And of course, many of the listeners, even if they're not on the radio, many of them have full empathy for what we're talking about, trying to reach their peers and others. You know, a lot of people want to ask how to reach families, the other thing, and that's not necessarily something that I even advise myself.
No.
Although we really may want it, our emotional needs may really want to be fed, though, to have that type of validation. So for some of us that go through our own lives without that validation, it can be quite horrific. There is no choice for us to either sink or swim and become more conscious, evolved beings throughout the experience, or the sense of isolation can tear us up.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a fork in the road where we go down one of the path, one of each path, either or. And I think that we should try to stay sane through this whole thing.
Yeah, your family will either get it or they don't. I don't know if anybody's ever had a person in their family become a born-again Christian and then start to try and push religion on every member of their family, and how hostile that person often gets treated, and how everybody sort of starts to become, oh my God, here they come again with the reading out of the Bible to me and what have you. It's kind of like that. I mean, you've had Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, haven't you? And you wish they would go away. If you're a conspiracy person and you're trying to enlighten your family as to the fact, That is how they will begin to see and treat you. However, if you're a conspiracy person and you don't push it on them, you just do your own thing with what have you, you'll maintain your mental sanity. One of my listeners had an amazing comment the other day. She was talking to her therapist and she said to him, "Look, I wouldn't have any mental problems if I had friends who thought like me." Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, that's about right, isn't it? And sometimes it's like you need to find new family, new friends. No tree that grows into the tallest part of the forest has got there without losing a few branches of deadwood along the way. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's like a missile guided by satellite. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live in HD and ADHD. Picture quality much better. My very special guest is still Alex Ansari from Outside the Box. Hey, bro. We were talking before about, what was it? What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. How people can make their own stuff, right? Let me just lay this on you. Had actually a listener message me this morning about this very topic. And he was saying that he's got all these pictures of UFOs and everything. And how he wants to make it into a documentary. And will I help and everything. And I was, no, sorry, I can't. Unfortunately, I figured out that you don't help people a lot of the time by taking responsibility for them. You know, it's sort of like if your mom ties your shoelaces for you every day and you never bother to learn how to tie them yourself. That's kind of the thing that I was talking about. And he's like, I know you're busy, but I just got to learn all the music, all the movie maker stuff. And I was simply going, well, if it's important to you, then don't leave it to somebody else, bro. That's the main lesson I've learned over the years. And what are you waiting for? Okay, I talked to these guys this one time asking how I could get into the film industry or get into making videos and stuff. And they said, well, just do it. And now I've got 3,000 videos and more subscribers than the New Zealand Herald TV, which is the largest YouTube channel for mainstream media in the country, after me. Well, I'm not mainstream media, obviously. But he was like, do I use iMovie or Movie Maker or whatever? And my philosophy is just use whatever you got. If you've got a crappy camera phone and you're uploading videos unedited, and that's where you can start, that's where you should start. You won't know everything straight off the bat, but if you learn to learn while you're doing things and getting things accomplished, that's a lot smarter than waiting for other people who are already busy to help you out before you actually start doing anything.
Yeah, that reminds me. Somebody was making some suggestions for people to interview, and nothing wrong with the material of the guests, but a lot of it, dealing with blood sacrifice and rape and all this stuff, and all a part of things we need to expose. But my show's not going to have that as a driving theme over and over and over again. So, I was saying not to put down the content. Maybe you should do your own show. I just am not going to. I just don't do the blood sacrifice show. Occasionally it'll come and, people will talk about it. We'll talk about some of these things, but it's not the blood ritual sacrifice show. And I don't have the stomach to be covering that stuff on a daily basis because there's also many other things that need our focus.
That sounds like a great broadcast, the blood ritual sacrifice show with Alex Ansari.
That's right. And there's no shortage of guests. Yeah, like, oh, you're going to get lots of ratings, lots of hits. Like, okay, yeah, possibly.
Oh, yeah, because everybody obviously just roams around searching for that stuff to make themselves feel better about life,
Oh, I'm feeling really depressed today. Well, have you thought about researching into blood sacrifice rituals? Maybe that'll help.
Yeah, when I was in Philadelphia in 2013, I met Jay Parker and did a little video for him where he talks about some of the experiences that he's had growing up in Delaware. And that was one of my most watched videos. I mean, that wasn't even an interview that was planned. It was just, I just happened to be there, you know, when he was there and he wanted to do a video. But that video's actually been, oh, now it's got 27,000 views on another website. And, yeah, I won't play the audio here. I'm looking at it now. But it's, for people that want to watch it, the Jay Parker Satanic Illuminati Family Abuse and Mind Control Case of John W. DuPont.
Mm. That sounds almost like the Donald Marshall interview that I did, bro. Like 50,000 hits or something. It's one of my most viewed videos. I only interviewed him for about an hour.
Oh, wow. You know, my other one of most viewed videos was just uploaded a couple months ago. It just shows Biden with his hands all over children.
And oh, I saw that stuff. Yeah.
That's another interesting topic, by the way, though, how much that's in our face. And we got people in the comment section go, that's creepy. What are those parents thinking? What do you mean, what are they thinking? What are you thinking? It's a ritual. They're offering the man his children. There's no rational explanation around that. You know, he goes straight for the daughters. How old are you? 13. He says, come here. You know, he grabs them by the arm, you know, tries to lick their ear.
Oh, my God.
And people are like, well, if I was that mother, I wouldn't. Well, you wouldn't be that mother up on stage unless you sold your soul to the devil, you see. And a couple years ago, there's something going on with this guy and that whole thing about in plain sight. He had his hands all over the grandmothers 2 years ago. You know, he was all over grandma. And it was mostly grandmas 2 years ago in the swearing in ceremony.
But not anymore.
So, yeah, it's definitely got a thing for the ladies. But, you know, I found maybe some people like that stuff. There were a lot of people that also came to the comment section that could not understand why there was such criticism of Biden. They're like, you know, very offended that people are freaked out by it, which freaked other people out more. They couldn't believe there are this many people that supported that action.
Oh my
so
God.
It was a very educational experience for everybody.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave. A tangled, tangled web indeed. Do you notice that people don't even know how to make their minds up about a whole lot of stuff now? I mean, I don't know. It's like the morality string or the morality line in the sand where you just go, okay, that's all right, but that's just not cool, bro. It's sort of started to blur somewhat lately, don't you think? It's over 100 years of propaganda and brainwashing and mindlessness and stupidity and trash media and what have you. People don't know right from wrong anymore.
A lot of people like to argue, especially environments that I'm in Portland, you know, the moral relative argument, you know, there is no evil. And I've been getting that most of my life since I've been sharing this information. And I make a fun once in a while or do some street demonstration, but pretty rarely. But when I do, I go all out, you know, like a megaphone, the Cuddle House.
What's
Big Cow shout out.
The Cuddle House? Like three,
well, they're charging, they're monetizing human basic affection. And this is happening in more and more cities where they have these professional cuddling operations.
Mm.
Well, I was just saying, you know, I prefer to now just focus more on putting the information on the internet and not going to bars and debating people that, you know, are in this really psychotic world. But every now and then I'll go out and put myself out there and face a brunt of negativity, and I felt the need on Valentine's Day that's when this event was. They called it the nation's first cuddle con. And so they had people, CNN was here, you know, other media outlets were here. Huffington Post did a piece on it. All the mainstream media, Daily Mail wrote an article about it, all about the same Samantha Hess, H-E-S-S, this entrepreneur in Portland, Oregon that started this cuddle house. Which is crazy because years ago, you know, I was saying, you know, in the future New World Order dystopia, people would be paying to cuddle because people would be that lonely. And so there'd be a big demand for it because man and woman would be that much more divided in the coming years.
Dude, you could so totally mess up their marketplace by wearing a sign and standing outside that says free hugs.
That's true. But it's the male free hug is not worth as much, apparently, on the street value, as the hug or cuddle from the hottie.
Well,
so if we got a bunch of girls together to kind of
Whoa. Are you telling me that these cuddle homes, you actually pay to cuddle really hot women?
I would not call Samantha Hess really hot.
Is she the only one cuddling, though? Like, does she have, is she like the DC Madam or whatever? She's got all these other girls that do.
She's the DC Madam. She's the cuddle pimp, you see. See, this CuddleCon event was a good business launching opportunity for her to bring in other women that would like to look at this as a career option. After all, this is happening in the most gentrified city in all of America, Portland. And we have the Portlandia TV show, which is driving more hipsters to move here. And it's displacing, to give you a bit of local info, a lot of native-born Portlanders. The price of rent is exploding. Micro apartment, Agenda 21-style apartments are exploding, the construction, that is. And plates from California are all over the city. And New York, Vermont, it's been a massive population explosion and many homeless in the city. Not only homeless people that used to live, you know, in some of these homes, people that have come here from somewhere else. So anyway, back to the Cuddle House. What a city to do it in, you know, where there's that much tension and racial tension. It's also the whitest city in America now. Many people of color have been displaced. So, yeah, I talked to a few people locally. A lot of people are for it. They see this as healing. There is a big New Age belief. Talk about New Age BS. That this is actually healing. And I was just there to say, hey, and I made some videos. This is not necessarily healing. It's insulting. We as men don't want to be subjectified based on how much money we can pay for affection. I mean, how can this go wrong? I'll tell you how. Some women don't like being seen as gold diggers. You know, they don't like men fearing them, but, you know, what does this type of business show? Does it show women being openly loving and healing, or does it... Yeah, I think it's a little weird.
Hmm. Well, let's think about moral relativism for a minute. Somebody says, oh, there's no good, there's no evil. Oh, yeah? Well, do you have any children? Yes, I do. Would you mind if I borrow them for a moment so I can rape and brutally murder them? No, I don't want that. Then obviously there's some things that you don't like, son. Shh! Just shh with your moral relativism and New Age BS, please. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's The Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 4 nights a week during the summer period, I think, which might be just about to end due to those wonderful daylight savings which kerfuffle me every year. It's 4 till 6 p.m. New Zealand time and 9 till 11 p.m. U.S. time. And, of course, there's another confusing factor about this, is that there's a day behind, day ahead kind of schedule. Now, if you're starting to get confused about this already, I know why. Because we all have our own little time zone and our own little day. It's very difficult to think about everybody else's date in the time zone as well as your own, because you're only used to dealing with the one. And that's why when I have guests on the show and they ask me what time is the show on, I don't tell them it's 4 p.m. New Zealand time if they're not in New Zealand. I tell them it's 10 p.m. Eastern time if they happen to live on the eastern seaboard. Or it's 9 p.m. Central time. Or 8 p.m. Mountain. You know? It's kind of getting a bit like that. So please, if you're confused, go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, check out the schedule, and there's also a little bunch of time clocks and everything there that tells you what the current time is in all four US time zones. And you can relay that back to yourself. So if you do want to listen into the show live, perhaps call in on occasion when we open the phone lines up, then that'd be really marvelous, fabulous. Because we ultimately want people to be listening to American Freedom Radio. We want people to be donating as well to American Freedom Radio. Because as the mainstream media has proven thus far, that even if you sell out completely to advertisers, it's usually not enough to pay the bills without the generosity of benefactors. And American Freedom Radio doesn't have any massive corporate benefactors that actually really benefit from trash news and dystopian future plans for humanity. So that means only good people. People like you, the listeners, without whom we would not exist, more is asked of you, and more is required of you, and almost hate to ask for your help. But American Freedom Radio needs it. I need it. Everybody needs help. And you are the only one that can help us. And we thank you very much every time you do. Alex Anseri is my guest from Outside the Box. You're doing 5 days a week now, Alex.
Yeah, I just jump straight into the fire.
I do like that whole mentality, sink or swim.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go back and forth between talking about certain subjects and having some guests on. You know, I'm looking to interview some people for the first time and discover some people that I've never yet discovered yet. So I'm sure as I look this weekend, I'll come up with some new names, some fresh names. And that's always a part of the magic, is sharing new information, not necessarily the same person or the same thing. It's really important that we continue to talk about society, consciousness in society, self-responsibility, and how we can also network with each other. The alternative media is very fragmented. And I remember a couple of years ago when I was doing a show on Oracle, there was a little more unity. I don't know what happened. I don't know whether we all became targeted individuals, to talk on a more serious note, and things started getting sent to us through the technological wireless reality. I don't know. Or other people going in chat rooms stirring up arguments over who's a Zionist and who's a shill. But I saw kind of a peak, I guess, of unity in a 2007, 6, 7, 8, 9. And yes, certain hosts on there would start wars with me. People like Josh Reeves. You know, it was like, wow, this gets deep. And it kind of left a bad mark on the station as a whole. But after the 2009, 2010, 2011 time period, everybody just kind of broke up and stopped talking. Mm-hmm. And then I guess there were some people that came to AFR that started some trouble for AFR. And I was telling this to a few people. They obviously did not appreciate being given a chance on the air very much to watch their behavior later on, the message boards, go ahead. It really disgusts me to see how ungrateful some people have been.
Yeah, I mean, AFR says no rules, no taboo topics, and in general, that's true. That's because when you're giving moral people rules to follow, you generally don't need to worry about it. You know, there's certain things like common respect. Mm-hmm. Like let's say, for right. instance, not inciting fights on air between other people that are on the network, for example. Don't criticize and demonize other hosts or attack the network owners or threaten people or be disrespectful to the board operators or any of that kind of thing, which for a moral person don't even need saying, but some people don't have that sort of framework that they work from. I don't know about you, Alex. In fact, I do know about you because you're the same as me. We're here to make a difference. If we didn't want to make a difference, we wouldn't sacrifice as much as we have in order to continue doing this, despite all the goodness knows how many obstacles and scumbaggery that gets thrown at us as a result of doing it.
Yeah, and the other thing that I try to remind myself is to remember that I'm doing what I love, and that's the intention of it. That's the point. So to get bogged down in the negativity, even amongst one's own emotions, you know, it's one thing to share, you know, the angst and sense of urgency to certain things, but some people get consumed by it. So, yeah, I think it's important that everybody remembers why they're here, you know, what they're doing here, where we're trying to go. Facebook is Facebook. It's still a great tool to connect people for a real event. But I'll tell you, I've noticed this years ago. It seems like it's easier to get people together for a yoga event or a basketball event or maybe a flash mob or a bunch of kids run into a store and they steal candy bars and such. Get on the news. We're seeing less events of, I don't know if like minds is even a good description. So, yeah, this is...
Maybe it's kind of like a distraction, because I think what Facebook's done is it's picked up where humanity left off. All our communities got destroyed because of television, so people weren't like going outside, people don't know their neighbors anymore. And Facebook has kind of given us back that one thing that we crave, which was interaction with other people, quite a bit of it, because we're not used to it anymore. But the problem is, without that physical interaction, without actually being there, without all that eye contact, body language, and what did they say, Alex? Like 80-90% of communication is non-lingual? Like, what you're saying, but only 10% of it is what you're actually saying, and the rest of it's how you're saying it.
And a lot of it's abbreviations, TTYL, LOL, LMAO? Yeah. All these different, and I remember at one point starting to see the emergence of this language as recently as a few years ago. I'm like, what the hell? And I'm going to Google to get a translation to what a text means.
Yeah.
And there's still some that I haven't even figured out yet.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of phenomenon just makes me go FFS on occasion, if anybody knows what that means. I can't. FFS. Two Fs. And an S. For F's sake, it means.
Mm-hmm.
Which you can't say under FCC regulations properly, but that's the other difficulty about it, isn't it? Is that you get frustrated as well. And I find this... Lion's Den. Dig this, bro. Go into a group that you know is hostile to you, like a pro-fluoride group or a pro-vaccination group. Anybody who's pro something that the establishment says, and I don't know, there's almost everything that the establishment says is basically the complete opposite of reality, by my experience. So I just kind of generally anti-establishment until I find out exactly what they're saying and exactly why it's BS. And if they happen to be telling the truth, it's like 1 out of 100 times, and you'll be like, oh, you should tell them the truth that time. Amazing. But these people who have that hook, line, and sinker mentality, they don't use logic, they don't use arguments, they don't peruse your material and absorb what it's saying. They simply ignore whatever you're trying to put in there, attack your character, and generally be nasty. And that's what I mean by the lion's den. Has anybody actually been doing this at all? Because I think we're getting into our own little cliques and groups now, with people of like mind, and we're not dipping our toes in the hot end of the bath every now and again, maybe as we should, to check the temperature.
Yeah, there's actually I tagged a few names in a Facebook post of everyone that I knew that was local, like a group of 10 people, just as a reminder that, you know, we're one of the, you know, we're a small group of people on Facebook in Portland that we also have to have a lot of mutual friends. So it's like, yeah, Facebook, it's almost like, hey, it's exciting. We're all in the same city and we're on Facebook together, which is kind of cool, but a little bit weird. Like, what, you're, man, people, we're in the same city. Meetups, people should continue to meet up. It's totally therapeutic. And at the same time, yeah, we're having interactions with people on Facebook of positive and negative kinds at the same time.
You ever notice that you remember the negative interactions almost more than the positive ones?
And it's important to remember the positive ones and not let the negative ones drown it out. And it can easily, and we may not be aware of it. You know, sometimes our minds will just automatically be looking at the negative because maybe we have habits of looking at that, you know, negative news.
We're hardwired to remember threats.
That's true. It's in our nature. So a lot of this deals with evolving beyond our animal nature. I mean, there's aspects of our instincts that are very important. But, you know, the fight or flight, the aggression, going to war with our words and energy, just like we were going to battle if we were going to battle. And I talked about solar flares in the past show with you and the links to wars and whatnot. Also linked to people just acting like jerks on Facebook. I've also seen trends with Facebook and solar flares, people blocking each other. I've seen trends like that, like where I block people and, oh, I can't take this, no. You know, no more crap from this person or vice versa. So people are responding to a lot of stuff right now in these years that we're in and we've been in for the last couple of years. You know, we're past 2012 by a few years, but I do think we're in a massive shift of something. And it seems that the world in upheaval is affecting, and we could see it now, more people are talking about it, most especially the alternative media. Mm. It's, yeah. Well, there's so many stories out there. One last thing. There's a book called They Live by John Ronson. People might want to check it out. He hangs around with Alex Jones and David Icke, a little bit of information behind the scenes. But there could really be a book published that's beyond John Ronson's They. Them is the title. That really talks about just this whole saga since the truth movement and the internet launched, the reality behind the scenes with all these different characters.
Do you think that there's a need for the fragmentation of the truth movement? Because it'd be much, much more difficult to put down the entire truth movement if there was no head of the snake to cut off, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're so independent in nature, that's why we're all just kind of doing our own thing. But that's important. You need to have diversity of perspective. A lot of people are speaking from their gut anyways. So you see, and in that respect, it's beautiful when you see the parallels in the epiphanies and the conclusions, and especially when you know that they're not plagiarizing on each other or even listening to each other's show, but they're tapping into that zeitgeist. They're tapping into that knowing, and the audience is tapping into that knowing. And so in that sense, it feels spiritual. You know, there's too many people focused on hierarchy and all these archies of the world, all these archonic systems.
I call it the evil archy. It's a mixture right. between evil, a hierarchy, and malarkey.
Yeah, I have always loved the evil archy phrase that I originally heard from Anthony Hilder. Yeah, we were oligarchy, evilarchy. There's not enough people out there that are appreciating just the beauty of the uniqueness of the message, and that's what's important. And that's where I see spirit. And so, you know, it's like I don't necessarily subscribe to the idea there's a bunch of crystal children running around. But there are a lot of people out here that are speaking their prophecy, that are speaking their truth, and we are definitely fragmented. We are fragmented around the world. And perhaps in many other languages and many other societies, people are doing what we're doing in other languages. We may not see them because the firewall between us and China, and there may be a language barrier, but this is definitely what's happening is global. But yet AFR is playing such an instrumental role in that because there's so few stations like this that make shows like this available where people can call in. And even though AFR has been gone a few years, later, it's still some of the same guys in the game. So it's going to be great to see a lot of listeners return, a lot of great hosts join the lineup.
Well, it's about kind of longevity and dedication. I mean, I've seen a lot of people come and go in this game. And talk radio is probably the toughest one. I mean, you know SEAL training, bro, how they have like a 75% dropout rate? Talk radio has like a 95% dropout rate. After the first couple of years or whatever, people can't handle doing this. Narcissists like myself, on the other hand, but bear in mind I'm a benign narcissist, not a malevolent one. Oh no, malignant narcissist, I think is the technical term for it. Meaning, I love myself, but I love you too. You know, my kind tend to be capable of doing it. Just depends on what your motivation is. And my motivation is I kind of don't want to get exterminated or enslaved, sort of thing. And that's pretty much the be all and end all for me. And I see it coming, and I see it getting worse. And I can't go around selling Vodafone products to people anymore while I know that that's going on, and be able to sleep at night, which I kind of value a bit, because if I don't sleep, I get a little bit nuts.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of that, just being in a major city again, a lot of electromagnetic pollution, smart meters, you know, a lot of that. I'm dealing with a lot of that. A lot of people are not getting enough sleep, and that's aggravating the situation. But as far as the alternative media is concerned, actually, on a side note, I just started posting news for AMTV. Christopher Green used to have a show on American Freedom Radio. So
I just sent Chris a message this morning, coincidentally enough. Oh, sorry, go ahead, bro.
Oh, yeah, small world. things like that are good. They make up for some of the years of isolation. So what I'm doing is I'm just posting news. You know, he covers some things that I might not cover a little more on certain areas, so I have an understanding of his news niche. So just going through the exercise of sending him content information, it's good energy to help each other out.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, on American Freedom Radio. Bear in mind that the Vinny Eastwood Show is listener-supported, so if you want to go in there and to the vinnyeastwoodshow.com, that's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question in Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news, and start up a $5 a month donation today. We'll be right back. Boogie it down, in the Schwarzenegger sense of the word. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because if you can't make jokes about genocide, what else is there to laugh about? Because there's pretty much nothing else going on other than the slow genocide or the slow suicide of our general daily lives. You love that EMF radiation that's hitting you right now? Did you know that they've done studies and stuff? Like that a couple of percent of people are electrosensitive, so that whenever somebody's got their wireless or their smartphone or even a cell phone next to them or a portable phone on a base station, they can feel it. And it does not feel good. And they've also done studies putting electrosensitive people next to non-electrosensitive people and then testing their cells while they're being irradiated. And they find out that even if you can't feel the effects of the wireless radiation, it's still affecting your cells in the exact same way than the person who can feel it. It doesn't matter. You're screwed, bro. I mean, think about your balls. Not to be too graphic. But guys, you're carrying around a cell phone in your pocket, aren't you? Almost all day? Almost every day? Did you know that if you're within 1.8 meters of one of those cell phones, it's like being within 100 meters of a giant cell phone tower? It's not good, son. It even says on the inserts of some of the Nokia phones and what have you that it's a requirement that you don't have the cell phone within a few centimeters of your body at any point. How the hell are you supposed to use something that you can't touch? It's called covering our asses. And we are bathing in this stuff, man. 4G. Goodness knows what the hell else. But if you could see invisible electromagnetic frequencies permeating off of every power cord, every wireless router, every cell phone, you wouldn't be able to see 2 feet in front of you because of all the waves of energy. This place is messed up. And they're messing it up worse. You know what they're saying about this all? Is that if it can't burn you within a few seconds, then it's safe. That's the safety margin that they're talking about regulating the telecommunications scumbaggery people with. Unbelievable. Sorry, I was just getting on for a little tangent over there, because Alex, you said you were talking about that last night, just before the break, sorry, about people not getting enough sleep because of all that EMF wireless radiation. But yeah, if you go to my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, and you search EMF or Paul Waddell, W-A-D-D-E-L-L, that sounded really cool when I said it like that. There's a lot of stuff there. There's even a playlist of his videos. Sorry, go ahead.
I live in a micro tiny home on wheels, and I park it from spot to spot. I was parked somewhere about the same spot for about 2 months, very close to a transformer. You know, and so I turn off my computer, and even being like in a little box, which it is, it's probably creating kind of a concentration of electromagnetic energy from the Wi-Fi, and I can feel it. So I shut it off, disconnect the internet, and then I'm like, oh, there's that buzzing. So there's a lot going on in Portland on top of just that or other major cities. And it's when I get outside the city that it seems to get quieter, and it takes a couple nights to even adjust to the quietness. So, you know, yeah, we definitely long for that. We're not in a natural state. So, it seems like this is contributing to that troll-like factor, people becoming agitated, quick to respond, low impulse control. They're not getting enough sleep. They're not leading healthy lifestyles. They're on the computer too much. People need more nature. They need more regular connection. They need to heal those trust issues. And there's a lot of trust issues that, as people, we got to work out. As people that are doing talk shows and interviewing guests, people have their man issues and woman issues sometimes, you know. It's also important for people to talk about what the hell has happened to them and what their experiences are. And so when men and women are sharing stuff about men and women, hey, that's a topic I like to address a lot. It makes sense for a lot of good men and women out there to be shafted by other bad men and women. So it's important that we start looking at that the sociopathic nature instead of a gender. But unfortunately today a lot of people are trapped in the gender wars, but hopefully we can help them see that this propaganda is coming from all different angles, black, white, you know, the manufactured tensions to get people to protest and burn things. But seeing the gender wars around us in today's day and age is hard, Vinny. Requires a strong spiritual center to not get caught up in it. You know, the MGTOW stuff's interesting, but I see some people getting really angry too. Like, hold on, guys, hold on. They're not biologically like this because they're women, because of these issues you've had. It's society. And I think that's what we got to remember. It's society as a whole. It's been affected, not just one gender, not just one group. You know, no one group can be blamed for any of the problems that we're facing.
I think we're all to blame. It's like they say in V for Vendetta, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. We're all responsible for giving up things slowly over time. We're all responsible for walking down, ever so slowly, this little slippery slope that's been placed before us. All our little choices, every single conclusion that we've made, every thought that's occurred to us has contributed in some way to who we are today. And I'm sorry to say that for most of us, including all of us on the radio, the sum total of our existence and not contributing to the truth movement is still greater than our contribution to the truth movement. And we often feel guilty and compelled to do even more in order to compensate for who we used to be, for when we weren't even responsible for it. That kind of mad drive, I think, is kind of necessary. I feel that I need to justify my existence. I feel that I need to work harder. I feel that there's a lot to lose, not just for me, but for everybody.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Yeah, there's a lot to lose, our humanity. And we're definitely stepping forward in the future now. The virtual headset goggles are out there. People are getting ready to have their digital boyfriend and girlfriend. We're stepping forward somewhere pretty quick. There's not much choice for them if they want to be human. You know, one should want to stand against the system. There's nothing human about just allowing yourself to join it. So, yeah, seeing Katy Perry come out riding the beast, I believe, during the Super Bowl, all that very metaphoric, all that means something. And we're definitely seeing the beast system take society by storm.
Yeah.
I don't use a cell phone, by the way. I use the internet, social media. One thing I don't use anymore is the cell phone. Some people find it strange because they can't get a hold of me that way. If I really need to call someone on the phone, I'll do it. But I've found myself going away from using the phone in recent years. Only because I'm very accessible via the web. And, you know, everywhere I go, I see people. Everybody's noticing the cell phones distracting people. And what I encourage women, you know, on the local show I do in Portland, I talk about public safety and local crime news. People are walking targets when they're on their cell phone, not paying attention to what's around them. So it's counterintuitive to be really scared and profile people, but at the same time absorb yourself so much in the cell phone to where you're walking into things and you can't hear what's going on behind you because you got headphones on.
Dude, I was down in Queenstown and we were coming through this roundabout intersection and this courier's driving through in a big van and this chick doesn't even look up. She just crosses the road. Glued to that frickin' cell phone. And the dude in the van, like, stops in the middle of the intersection. And he's got his arms outstretched with his foot on the brake, just going, you've got to be freaking kidding me.
Now, whether some of these people have angels around them, I don't know. But twice in this last week, I've seen a couple trucks or cars almost hit someone absorbed with their cell phone. And the person wasn't even noticing that they were almost hit.
Dude.
So not only they're almost hit, they keep walking. They don't even look towards the car.
There's like, we've outsmarted natural selection, so now only the dumbest survive.
I have noticed that trend. Yes, this is a backwards reality, one that we should continue to study with fascination, amusement, and awe. Everything is backwards, it seems. It seems that the wrong people are populating, and the more we talk about this, no, the wrong people are procreating. And I don't mean a racial group, but just types of people. The sociopathic personality almost seems to be out-populating the empathetic human. Oh, yeah, we're on a planet of many backwards realities, and I think that's a great example.
Almost everything is the exact opposite to what we're taught they were. And I kind of think about this a lot, of how many years that I spent in some kind of government educational institution and later on a private educational institution, which I had to pay money for and debt that I'm still paying off. And how many times any of that knowledge has actually come into use? And how many things that I learned during that time do I have to unlearn?
Yeah, I went through the community college experience as well. I also have the debt to show for it. That's another reason I don't have a cell phone, as I was actually mentioning to someone earlier, is the constant calls from the student loan organization. All I want to know is just let me know when they're doing the roundups. Until then, I don't care. I don't think they're yet rounding people up for not paying their student loan debt. I don't know where all that's going to go. But yeah, that's something that I just walked away from. Yeah. And never looked back. They would find you. They find you on all these cell. It's like, how are they getting my number? It's a track phone. Oh, that's right, because I made a payment with my credit card or debit card, and somehow or another they're able to use that third-party market data to give me another call. And it always sounds like you're dealing with the mafia when they're like, so is this Alex Yansery? And I'm like, I don't know. Who's this? Well, is this Alex? It kind of sounds like you're Alex Yansery. Is this Alex Yansery? You know, and they're like, well, who's this? Well, you know, and they keep telling you, you know, I can't tell you who I am and unless you tell me who you are. And it can go back and forth for 5 minutes. But some of them might enjoy it. Like, yeah, we're really scaring this guy. Yeah. You know, like almost insinuations like something's going to happen to you or
yeah,
they're going to have to put it in their report. So far, the drones haven't come for me. But, yeah. You know, if any of those things start happening, I want the audience to know why.
Yeah. It's going to be like a hellfire missile strike in downtown Portland.
Oh, there's going to be, like, you know, they got everybody tagged from Occupy.
Yeah.
You know, that was the thing, the whole Occupy thing. A lot of people were upset with their student loan debt. And, oh, now they're talking about free college, supposedly. And people are looking at, well, what is that going to do to how the a college education is actually valued? Will it even have any value anymore if they just make it free?
Yeah.
So that's the latest debate in America, whether community college will become free or not.
Yeah. I think when I was at university, I almost stopped caring about my boring lectures and coursework because they showed me the AV room, which had rows upon rows of documentaries, and that I felt were far more fascinating, far more informative than the hour or so of lecturing with notes that I didn't read, with source material, with convoluted language that was so boring that I couldn't read it. So if you want a free education, you'll probably get as good an education or whatever doing YouTube University, for crying out loud. All these things that you'll learn, for people that have made documentaries over decades upon decades upon decades, you know, ranging back through history and all of these covert technologies and discoveries and goodness knows what else, they ain't going to teach you that stuff in university.
You know, on the topic of documentaries, I'd like to see a renaissance of documentaries, you know, in the coming years. I think that we saw a lot more after 9/11, and all these documentaries came out about Halliburton, Bush, Cheney. You know, there was the documentary about Fox News called Control Room. There were the Yes Men, a lot of documentaries on the left, right, outfoxed, King Korn. We have Obama Deception and that genre of films. Aaron Russo, 2005, 2006. Gary Franchi, Matt Kazee, Freeman. Freeman and I started the same year. Freeman's did more documentary style videos as well. And it's just there's still a lot of stuff out there, but it's like we need another like these solar cycles, another emergence of now a whole bunch of new stuff.
Well, I am actually doing a documentary about some new stuff, bro. But it's going to be different from how everybody else does it. Everybody else does it by picking like one topic, pretty much, and then exploring it and then making a really good documentary about that one topic. Whereas I'm going to pick all the topics and string them all together, about 6 minutes per topic or whatever, real big important ones like world government, climate change, secret societies, mm-hmm. and political games and corruption and so on and so forth in the medical industry, so that it all makes sense. The entire system suddenly makes a lot more sense, and you figure out how it all works together. Because I believe that documentary filmmakers have laid the groundwork, and then you could now view a documentary that only has a few details about certain things that are still accurate nonetheless, and be able to help people grasp the entire picture. And that is my contribution, or at least I'm hoping to be able to bridge that gap towards that fragmented truth movement that we talk so much about. Because I find some of us are very informed about specific issues, but not very informed about others, and don't see the connections. Even though if you've come to that overall conclusion that there's some kind of scumbaggery at the top and it's committing criminality and wants to enslave humanity and is currently doing a fine job, there's that one big umbrella of realization that we all have. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the final segment of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, right here on American Freedom Radio. Alex Ansari has had to leave us because he's, just like a whole lot of other people in this movement, got other stuff to do and other places to be of a personal nature. Well, he's helping somebody with some flooring, if I understand correctly. So, I think... Well, the kind of point that we were getting here on this whole conversation we were having is sort of wanting everybody to be sort of together, but sort of separate as well. You know what I mean? How you just wish that we could come together on the very common grounds. Those things that really bring us together, not being divided by race or sex or sexual preference or religion. Or general philosophical beliefs, or political paradigms. That this common understanding that if it comes from the establishment, it's probably a lie. And if you can eat it and it's real tasty, but you can't make it with ingredients you can find, then it's probably a soft kill bioweapon. You know, these basic understandings of the way the world truly works, from which we can come to this framework that everybody dream of but very few people can articulate. What will the world look like after the current established order is replaced? What will replace it? Will it be people of conscience, of honor, of self-discipline and integrity? Or will we merely have the same charlatans, con men, and psychopathic narcissistic criminal scum that we currently have? Just in a new form, a new shape, a new face, a new uniform. Do we even feel like we could wear a uniform today if we wanted to be part of a movement that can be identified as having one generalized belief structure? What does that belief structure have to look like? Is it simply to believe that we're not going to go quietly into the night while criminals take children and bomb cities in the middle of the night? We're not going to sit around while people brainwash our families and our friends without saying something to counteract that message. Can that be something that people can agree on? Probably. But here's the more difficult problem. In order to build movements, you often need leadership. And many people don't like the idea of having leaders anymore because they've only had examples of bad leaders. And I think that's kind of fair enough. Because the only structure that a good leader could get into in this day and age, this long after the assassination of JFK in broad daylight, you'd have to become corrupted in order to become a leader of the people. It's almost like they've created a system that is uninfiltratable. I don't think that we can trust many of the people who claim to be trying to preserve our freedoms, elected representatives and the likes. They're in a system that almost incapacitates their ability to help. And if they do persist in trying to help, they're usually a minority of one, and they get maligned, sidelined, if you will. Nobody listens. And there's a whole cacophony of people criticizing them and saying that there's nothing they can do. And everybody gets that their entire life, don't they? It just kind of gets worse the higher up the hierarchy you get. The more you have to watch what you say, watch who you associate with. I've had many friends that are no longer my friends, who I had to walk on eggshells around. I don't like people like that. People who take things the wrong way. It doesn't promote an environment of trust or respect for one's character. Like, I would think about a protectorate rather than a government with voluntary contribution to society. And then somebody will ask me to clarify whether or not I want this voluntary society to be forced. Like, pretty obvious that you wouldn't want to force a voluntary society to happen. It would kind of defeat the purpose. That's like having a tyranny for freedom or a war on terror. It'll never end. You know why you can't end the war on terror? Guess what happens to people when somebody's dropping bombs on them? They get terrified. So you're going to have a war against the consequences of war. Just think about that for 2 seconds. You see how nuts everything is. Why do you think I'm joking all the time? It's a survival mechanism. Nobody can listen to this much BS for this long and be totally unaffected by it. This stuff will drive you nuts. So I had to throw the TV out of the house. Couldn't stand it. There's an Australian comedian, I forget his name just now, but he says that you can't watch TV for 2 reasons. I'm intelligent and I've got a temper. That's pretty true, isn't it? How many of you are still watching TV? As well as maybe listening to the radio on occasion, watching YouTube documentaries, or participating on Facebook chats, and or going out and doing things in person. You find yourself sometimes, don't you? Sitting there getting really, really angry at the TV, spewing out all this BS. Then why are you watching it? You think you're going to be so much more radically informed by watching BS? Come on, explain this to me. I've failed to see the connection to watching huge amounts of mainstream media and being an informed person. Mark Twain said something about this. He said that those who read nothing at all are uninformed, and those who read only newspapers are misinformed. We only have the choice between Coke and Pepsi. There is no H2O on the mainstream media. There's nothing healthy on there. Switch it off. They're mind controlling you, bro. Even if you know they're mind controlling you, they're still doing it. While you're conscious of it, you can't stop it from happening. Switch off the mainstream talk radio. You can get apps now for American Freedom Radio to listen to them on your EMF-emitting 4G smartphone that you can have right next to your reproductive places. But at least you'll be able to listen to American Freedom Radio, where we warn you about crap like that. You can't lose, son. It's at least a step in the right direction. You can plug in anything you want. Be creative. I know a lot of you, oh man, the questions that I get. The technical difficulties that people suffer. The internet and the technical things that you need to do sometimes in order to just have something basic, like pressing a play button. Sometimes it's just more complicated than it's worth. That's why at the American Freedom Radio, we have one of those play buttons right on the home page there, bro. You can just start listening right away. And I've even copy-pasted, thanks for the network owner. Oh my god, he's awesome. He just gave me like all the links and everything that I needed in order to put a player on the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. That was like so complex, I couldn't even get it to work, right? I've been in this game for years and years, and for some reason, that was just beyond me. But now, you can listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show when it's live on the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And if you go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, they've even got a little banner there on the side where you can click and it can download an app to your smartphone for those of you who are a little bit more tech savvy. Find some solutions, mate. Get off of the mainstream media. All right? It's been hooked into your veins like the liquefied dead being pumped into your digestive system through the matrix. Well, they use you in some gargantuan jelly sack of propaganda in order to brainwash you even further into giving them your energy and attention. Oh, God. Do you have any idea how much energy and attention it takes to even express a thought like that? About how messed up everything is? And to have even 1% of the comprehension of the total information about one particular subject will drive you freaking crazy. Because it's so nasty and full of scumbaggery and complex to conceal their scumbaggery. You ever notice that? If somebody's trying to explain something to you and they explain it in such a complex way that you can't understand what the hell they're talking about or what the hell they're doing, it's because there's some scumbaggery involved. I'm not kidding. It is everywhere. We are saturated in a coat of fluffy ginger scumbaggery. Not to offend the gingers or anything, but anyway, please, ladies and gentlemen, keep listening to American Freedom Radio and keep supporting it and support the hosts like me at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Is there any host like me? Don't think so. It's kind of me. And that's how I think everybody should think of themselves. There ain't nobody like you but you. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much indeed.